My name is Sandra Sadiq, and I'm going to share with you today's sermon is going to be about the end times. Different parts pertaining to the end times, but today's sermon is going to be from we're going to talk about the signs before the rapture, and that can be found at Matthew 24, 3 through 14, Mark 13, 4 through 13, Luke 21, 8 through 19. And there is a reason why I stopped right there instead of going through the whole book of Matthew 24, because I said, like I said before, it's going to be the end time signs before the rapture. There is a difference between the rapture and the second coming, but most of the time, unfortunately, it's preached together and it's not separated. That's why so many Christians even think Jesus is not coming anytime soon, because we mix the signs. And it's not supposed to be so. We are going to come from what I'm going to read. I'm going to read from Matthew 24, verse 3 through 14. And it's actually going to be, I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. So you can follow up with me, please. Matthew 24, verse 3. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these signs be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." And as I'm reading this, I hope you have your Bible so you can put a check mark there. You know, our Lord warns us several times that we should not be deceived by any. He warns us several times in his word. Okay? And the other thing in verse 5 that he talks about, he said, "Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." And this has been happening years and years and years and years and years. And it's still happening, especially now that we are in the end times. Some people are waiting for the end times to come. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, the end times is already here. It does not need to come. Verse 6 says, "And you will hear of rumors, See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Haven't we been seeing rumors and rumors of war? Wars from, in different parts of the world. That was over 2,000 years ago. Jesus was warning people that those things will happen. But my brothers and sisters, that is not a prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. That is a prophecy that has already been fulfilled. And it's even being fulfilled as I'm speaking to you now. So, don't get confused with the part that it says, "but the end is not yet." Because remember that time that he was talking, that was 2,000 years ago. So he was talking about all the wars that will happen, which have already happened. Verse 7 says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in various places." Now, is that a prophecy that needs to be fulfilled or a prophecy that has already been fulfilled? If you've been watching and studying, reading history, you will know that that is a prophecy that has already been fulfilled. And even as I'm talking to you all, you know already, recently again, there has been earthquakes all over the world, okay? Different parts. And last week, it was where? Haiti. These things have already been fulfilled, and some are still happening as we are waiting for the soon return of our Lord. Famine in different parts of the world. We like to use the example Africa, for instance. You know that there is hunger all over. And even now, the media is even talking about in the near future, there is even going to be hunger in the Western world, not just in the third world countries. Because it's what? It's all part of the end time signs that has been and will be fulfilled. And it talks about pestilence. Pestilences are diseases that are incurable. We have AIDS, and recently what do we have? The swine flu. That is also killing people, and it cannot be cured. People cannot be cured from it. So all these are not signs that needs to be fulfilled. These are signs that have already been fulfilled, and as I'm talking, some of them are still being fulfilled. These are prophecies that has already, and it's already coming to pass. It's happening right before our very own eyes. Verse 8, it says, all these things are the beginning of what? Sorrows. And if you study that little small scripture, it does not say that what? Christians are exempt for it. But as born again Christians, we have a hope. What is the hope? The promise of us seeing our Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds. So we, even though some of us will go through the sorrows, not even for people that we know, but even people far away that we've never even met before. Because I know, even though I don't have a relative in Haiti, or even a brother and sister in Christ that I know personally in Haiti, as I was praying and even as I read the news, I was grieved greatly. And it's all what? Part of the end time sorrows that we'll go through. But we are never to lose focus. We are supposed to put our trust in the Lord no matter what trials and tribulations that will come our way. Verse 9 says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. This prophecy has been fulfilled, you know, even 2,000 years ago, when, I mean, the apostles, they were ministering all over, you know, telling people about the soon coming of the Lord and sharing the good news. And it's even happening now all over. I mean, we have places, China, Middle East, in also in Africa, certain parts, like the eastern parts, in Egypt, that they are torturing people just because they are believers. They love Jesus. And they are telling them to renounce their relationship, their belief in Jesus, and they will not. Some of them are being killed. These are all part of the signs. They are not signs that need to be fulfilled. This is prophecies that has already been fulfilled. And as I'm talking, people are still being persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? Verse 10 says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. My brothers and sisters, this is not only happening among unbelievers. It's also happening in the body of Christ, and it's not supposed to. Because the Lord commands us strongly to do what? To forgive, so that our Heavenly Father can also do what? Forgive us. No matter what people will do to us, we are supposed to forgive them. We are not supposed to live this life of betraying one another. But it's prophecies for the end times that has been fulfilled, that has been fulfilled. People betraying each other and things like that. But make sure we do not fall into this. We are not part of this. People offending people and people betraying each other. Because that is not part of the spirit of the Holy Spirit living in us. Is not part of the fruit, because we are supposed to live a holy and a righteous life for the Lord. Verse 11 says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. My brothers and sisters, it's very, very important that we live in the spirit. We are connected to the vine, and the vine is who? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the false prophets, they are all over, and they have deceived so many already into the gates of hell. Some of them, they ended up taking their own lives and everything. And we know this, it goes way down, I mean, Jim Jones era and all these things. And we are supposed to know, study the word of God, fast, pray, seek his face many times a day, so that we will not be deceived by all these false prophets. So we can know who is really of the Lord and who is not of him. Verse 12 says, And because of lawlessness, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. What is lawlessness? No order. No order whatsoever. It's totally the opposite of everything that the Lord stands for. No order is not of God. Lawlessness. And in a second, I will describe more about this lawlessness. Why it will grow so intensely. And it has already been growing intensely in our midst. Why? Because we are already in the end times. This is not a prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. These are all prophecies that are already being fulfilled. And I will talk in a second about the Antichrist. And you will see that one of his name is what? The lawless one. So why will lawlessness increase? We will talk about that in a second. Verse 13 says, verse 12, it says also that the love of many will grow cold. Because when there is no order, you don't reverence God, you don't do this and that, your love grows cold. Instead of us loving our neighbors like ourselves, we will no longer love them like that. So we do things that that God did not create human beings to do to one another. That's why, because sin has increased greatly and we don't have love for each other anymore. And all this falls into place. There are so many things since the Lord has been revealing things about the end times to me, that even people are doing things, killing people in a way. I remember I read an article. It was a man in Australia who his wife was divorcing him. So he had three kids, two boys and a girl. And he drove his car to this bridge, opened the back seat, took the young girl out, one of his children, and threw the kid alive over a bridge and killed the child. What is that? That is because the love have grown cold. They don't feel, they don't have compassion. People killing people left and right. A man getting up killing his wife, his four children in Florida. Just doing unthinkable things that God did not create men to do. Why? Because sin has increased greatly. Lawlessness, that's verse 12, has abound. And the love of many will grow cold. My sisters and brothers in Christ, please, when somebody offends you, forgive. Don't hold bitterness, anger, and stuff in you. Because all these things lead to verse 12. That love will grow cold. That's why God always urges us to repent, to forgive one another, to pray even for our enemies. Because I've realized the more I pray for my enemies, the more I love them. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing when he was teaching us all these things. Verse 13 says, there are so many examples of this. We don't have time, so I'm just cutting it short and moving to the next scripture. And it says, verse 13, but he who endureth to the end shall be saved. My brothers and sisters, I hear people are preaching that once saved is always saved. It's not true. And this scripture explains it. Why is that? The scripture says, but he who endureth to the end shall be saved. That means no matter what trials and tribulation comes our way, we are not supposed to throw in the towel and go back to our sinful ways or our old nature, our lives living in the flesh instead of the spirit. It says no matter what, we are to hold on to our salvation. Romans 8 says that, you know what? What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. No trials, no tribulations, no principalities, nothing. No circumstances. God tells us here, our Lord and Savior, that we have to endure to the end so we shall be saved. That means, my brothers and sisters, the hidden meaning of that scripture is that we can lose our salvation. That's why we have to endure till the end, to maintain our salvation with fear and trembling. Work out our salvation. Number 14, verse 14 says, we are still in Matthew 24, in case you now logging in or listening to where joining us. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. You know, I minister everywhere I get a chance. I will preach, I will teach, I will talk about end times, the love of the Lord. And you know how many people I meet on the street, even in the body of Christ, in the church, and they tell me Jesus is not coming anytime soon, because not every human being have heard this, the good news, the gospel, and it's not true. The word of God says, and this gospel, that's the word of God, of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nation, and then the end will come. My brothers and sisters, that is not a prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. That is a prophecy that has already been fulfilled. Because what God is telling us is the good news, the Bible, the gospel will go to the nations. And my brothers and sisters, there is no nation under this earth, on this earth, that has not yet heard the good news. That's when Christians, we hear it, and we go and we spread the good news with our neighbors, because the Lord tells us we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. Because when you love your neighbor as yourself, you know, you don't want them to go to the lake of fire, to hell. So you get up and you minister. You don't wait for a pastor, a minister, evangelist to ordain you. Just obey the word of God and go out there and preach and share the good news with your neighbor. And my brother and sisters in Christ, the gospel has already reached all nations. It has already. That is not the, you know, that is the deception that the devil has been using so people will not get ready. It is not. The gospel said it has to go to every nation, and that is a prophecy that has already been fulfilled. Now even, you know, Muslim countries and stuff like that, they used to bow. They used to say the Bible cannot go there and stuff like that. Let me tell you, they can log on to TBN, to God Channel and all this thing, and they can get even Bibles online. Bibles are online. Before I ever purchased even the Amplified Bible, I was able to read it online. So you tell me if the gospel has not already reached the nations. My brothers and sisters, we don't have time. Our Lord is coming. He is coming really soon. As I'm talking to you, as this sermon is being recorded, as I'm preaching this sermon, the Lord can come, can let the trumpet of heaven be sound, so that the saints who are ready and waiting for him will be raptured. There is nothing left for the Lord to do when it comes to our prophecies being fulfilled before the rapture. Now prophecies, there are prophecies still left to be fulfilled before the second coming, but not before the rapture, my brothers and sisters. Don't let the devil deceive you. Let me tell you, I just gave you from Matthew 3, through 14. The puzzle, the prophecies that had to be fulfilled before the rapture, which have already been fulfilled. Now, let me tell you, there is a final prophecy that is hidden. And that prophecy, that is the final piece, I call it. Because that's how the Lord spoke to me when he was talking to me, giving me the revelations for the end times. He said, the final piece to the prophecies being fulfilled before the rapture, he said, is hidden in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And he said to me, the reason why people waited for me 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 50 years ago, 20 years ago, and I never came, was because this prophecy had to be fulfilled before I could come. And he said, the prophecies has already been fulfilled. This prophecy has already been fulfilled, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because God has shown it to me. And I'm going to show it to you in scripture. This is the final piece before the rapture. And the Lord told me, this is why people waited for him. And he never came 50, 20, 1,000 years ago. And that prophecy, I told you, is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to read, it's actually in chapter 2, verse 3. But I'm going to read from chapter 2, verse 1. So you will actually understand how that verse 3 came into place. It says, verse 1, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you," what is this gathering together to him? That is the rapture. The rapture. The Bible uses the word what? Caught up. Caught up. But it doesn't matter whether you use the word rapture or caught up. Because sometimes when even God is talking to me, he uses the word rapture. You just need to understand what it means and what is about to happen, so we can get ready. This is not the time for us to be arguing whether it's this word or that word. What the most important thing is what? That we understand what that word means. And what is the rapture? It says we'll be caught up. The saints will meet Christ Jesus in the clouds. Okay? Before then, I'll read something to you. I'm reading verse 2 now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 2 now. It says, "Not to be so shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word, or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of the Lord has come." Who is this? This is Paul, one in the body of Christ. Look, "the day of the Lord will not come until this things in verse 3 has happened." And the Lord said, this is Paul. Paul had the final piece to the fulfillment of the rapture happening. And let's read verse 3. It says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." My brothers and sisters, he says to us, don't let anyone, how many times does God warn us in the Bible, to the body of Christ, don't let anyone deceive us. Because what? That day of the Lord, what is the day of the Lord? That is the rapture. The day of the Lord, because the day of the Lord happened. That is when the rapture, that promise happens. That is when, what? Judgment will come on earth. So the day of the Lord, he says, will not come to pass unless the falling away. So many Christians will fall away from Christ because they will be deceived. It's written in the word. And he says what? The final piece. And the man of sin is revealed. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the son of perdition is this man. Who is this man? My brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible talks about him in different. It describes him. There are five names that describes him. The first name is Antichrist. That you can find it in 1 John 2 verse 18. The man of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3. The man doomed to destruction, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3. The lawless one, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9. What does lawless means? It means contrary to or without regard for the law. Lawless, violence, being without order, without law, uncontrolled by law, unrestrained, a lawless passion, no order. And you know when you are a child of God, there is order. Because our God is a God of order and of decency. And his final name, the fifth name, is the name of the beast, or the number of his name, 666. And that can be found at Revelation 13, verse 17 through 18. My brothers and sisters, these are the names of the Antichrist. I remember I was in church one time and a pastor was preaching. And he said, I don't know why people should concentrate so much about the Antichrist. The Bible only talks about him 4 times. And I said, that is incorrect to myself. Because when you use the word or the name Antichrist, it only shows up about 4 times in the Bible. But you have to know this other name so you can find what God has to say about him. Because if you even study the book of Daniel from chapter 7 through 12, it talks so much about this man, you would not believe it. If it wasn't so important for God wanting his people and wanting his people to know that, do you think our almighty living God, the knowing God, will write it in the Bible? Now, my brothers and sisters, the word of God says his children are destroyed by lack of knowledge, but no more in the name of Jesus. We will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. It says what? So, you see here, let me tell you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 is not a prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. It has already been fulfilled in a couple or just a year or so. Because let me tell you, that man, the mark of the beast man, he's already here. Let me tell you, he's already here. What does the scripture say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3? It says he had to be revealed. My brothers, don't get that confused. There is a difference between being revealed and being activated. He is not going to be activated till the bride of Christ is out of this world, out of this earth. The moment we are raptured, he's going to be activated. Let me tell you something, and I'll explain this in depth to you all. The reason why it amazed me, even some Christians, so-called Christians, love this man. And I'm telling you, yes, not all of us will know that he is the one unless you're walking in the spirit. Because it's only through the spirit of God that God reveals things to us. If you don't have, you know, the Bible says that those who are his have the spirit in us. Let me tell you, even if a person does not know, if they are born again Christian, this man is the Antichrist, they will know there is something about this man that they don't like. Because that's what God started revealing to me before I even realized this man is the Antichrist. Let me tell you, because the spirit of God bears witness. He shows us that what is hidden. What is hidden? Let me tell you. You know, it says in John chapter 1, Jesus was baptized in the river Jordan. Why? It says so that he will be revealed. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, so he would be, and he was revealed. But at that time, all those people who were not walking in the spirit, they did not know he was the Messiah. Just like now, the Antichrist is here. He has already been revealed, and Jesus is coming. The only thing left, my brothers and sisters, is the sounding of the trumpet. For God to give the angels the command, and for our Lord Jesus Christ to meet the dead first in the cloud. And then we who are alive will meet him in the clouds, my God. Jesus. There is nothing, my brothers and sisters, as I'm talking, I sense the presence of God so strong. There is nothing left for him to do. Nothing. Don't get deceived by the devil. If your church is not preaching this, find a church that is alive, that is teaching end times, so you will know the truth. Where do you think those false prophets that Jesus was warning us about, where do you think they go? They go to the church. And they preach lukewarm words. They compromise the word of God so we would not know the truth and be ready for God. Don't get so much into religion that just because you've been going to a church for 100 years, 30 years, 40 years, you stay in that church whilst you are not getting fed spiritually. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming. You don't want to be left behind. You don't.
How many times did God say in the word that, I mean, that day, oh my goodness, will be like it has never been seen on earth. We think Haiti is bad now. Oh my goodness, you don't want to be left behind. Haiti will be like nothing. Haiti will be like nothing. My brothers and sisters, whilst we still have life in us, let us do all we can do. You know, every time I teach and preach end time, I tell the people who have been born again now, I said, let me tell you, if I were you, I'd be double timing. Anything I'm supposed to be doing for God, I would do it extra. To be saved in the end times, you are so blessed. You are so blessed, my God. For God to delay just for a few seconds, minutes, whatever in his timing, for you to be prepared for the rapture, you better not play games. My goodness. Father, I thank you. Let me tell you. I you know, sometimes I receive emails from all over the world. And some people say, oh, I want to fight the Antichrist. Oh my goodness, I want to fight the Antichrist. I want to do this. My brothers and sisters, don't get deceived. Know the word of God. The word of God says, you know, the Antichrist, he cannot be killed by human hands. Daniel 8:25, he can only, you know who can, oh my goodness, you know who can take care of the Antichrist, destroy him? It's our Lord and Savior. He was, it says, my goodness, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 8, it says that our Lord and Savior will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. That is the second coming. Because the first, this rapture, Jesus would not touch earth. He will only be in the clouds to be his bride. It says in Revelation 19:20 that the Antichrist will be captured with the false prophet and will be cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Hallelujah, Jesus. Because I sure don't like him, and every time I have to watch when I'm in public, because I just want to anybody who goes up against my Lord and Savior, I get wild. I know Jesus doesn't need me to fight for him, but I love him so much, I just want to fight and fight and fight for him. Oh man, I just love the Lord. Yes, I just love the Lord. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, let me tell you, if you're wondering, what is the meaning of the Antichrist? Now I'm going to break it down to you. The meaning of the Antichrist is, you have to see the scripture. It's in 1 John 2:22. It says, who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. My brothers and sisters, so anyone, even including Muslims, other religions who don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, is little Antichrist. But this mark of the beast man, the 666 I just spoke to you about, he is the final opponent of Christ Jesus on this earth. Let me tell you, he is the Antichrist. He is, I like, you know, one time I was ministering, and you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, you know something? You know, just like I am the Son of God, the Antichrist is like the son of Satan. He is the right-hand man of Satan. And we love him. Why? Because we're not walking in the spirit. So we will know the truth. So we will know the truth. 1 John 4:3 says, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. So, you know, sometimes I receive all these emails and things, people asking questions, you know, oh, you know, this person that says they're a Christian, but they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let me tell you something. That person, I don't care. They can write a big Jesus, Christian on their forehead. They are not saved. They have the spirit of the Antichrist. That's what the word says. That's not my made up word. I gave you the scripture. 1 John 4:3. It says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. So we have little Antichrists. But let me tell you, all these little Antichrists, they can be saved. But this man, that mark of the beast man, I don't care how much people pray for him, he cannot be saved. He cannot.
So why are we praying for him? If we are really walking in the spirit, we will know we shouldn't even waste time praying for him. 2 John 1:7 says, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and is the Antichrist. If you want to know the Antichrist, the definitions, I gave you the scriptures. I'm going to go over them quickly, just the scriptures. 1 John 2:22, 1 John 4:3, 4:3, 2 John 1:7. So now you have this. Let me tell you. I have studied the word of God because of the special anointing he has given me for the end times, because I was very clueless. But let me tell you, you know, in the word of God, there are 41 characteristics the Lord has allowed me to study end times. And with the help of the Holy Spirit and everything, oh, I love you, Lord. Let me tell you, there are 41 characteristics that describes the things the Antichrist will do. And also, some of the signs and his characteristics. Let me tell you, I don't have time right now to go through every single one of them. If you like, you can go on Heaven Is So Real website, because it's already there. Maybe one day I'll do a teaching or something about that. But I want you to know, you can also download that information from Cho Thomas's website under Urgent Messages. And it's by Sandra Siddique, and it's the End Time Signs and Teachings. You can download it there. Okay? But I want to talk about something very, very important here. The 41 characteristic will be what? Let me read it. Revelation 13, verses 16 through 17 says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, 666. My brothers and sisters, you should know. And we've been sending Mark of the Beast in different translations. I believe right now we have about 16 different languages and dialects from all over the world. You need to be getting these sheets and carrying them in your pockets, in your purses, in your bags. Everywhere you go, and you give it to your family, your neighbors, everywhere you go. Why? Because it's Jesus' heart desire that none should perish, even if they are left behind. That no one will ever receive this mark of the beast in the name of Jesus. You see, not everyone will have a right arm, a right hand, but every human being has a forehead. So if you don't have that, you will either put it on your forehead. Let me tell you, that chip, that RFID chip is already ready. If you Google it, you can find it. MSN, they said it's like the size of a rice. So it's not something that's going to be so obvious for people to know even that it's there. And the same is to store up medical records and all this. My brothers and sisters, anything, if you left behind anything going into right hand forehead, don't receive it. It will take you to the gates of hell for eternity. We think we are struggling now on earth. That's nothing comparing to eternity in hell. Let me tell you, God has not shown me hell or anything. I thank him for that. But you know, from reading Heaven Is So Real book by Cho Thomas, by 23 Minutes in Hell by Bill Weiss, and other people from all over the world have experienced hell, so that they can write and warn people so that they will not go there. My brothers and sisters, don't deceive yourselves by committing suicide or receiving the mark of the beast, no matter what. If it's through starvation that you would die, it's better for you to die. Even the Antichrist beheading you so that you can spend eternity refusing the mark of the beast, confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and Him beheading you so you can spend eternity with us. The born again Christians with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, eternity with Him is the most blessed thing any human being can ever ask for or imagine. I mean, seeing God for who He is, and in all His glory and honor, and what He has prepared for His creation, to be called sons and daughters of the Almighty Living God, that is an honor. My brothers and sisters, don't take that lightly. You know something? With the help, the gift of God, the Holy Spirit of God living in us, we can abstain from sin only with the help of the Holy Spirit. Let us live a life of holiness, righteousness, obedience, so we will spend eternity with our Lord. Don't receive the mark of the beast. Don't commit suicide, Christians. Don't fool yourselves. Even people who are unbelievers now, my brothers and sisters, don't commit suicide. That God did not create us for us to take our own lives. And you do that, there is a consequences that you will pay. And it will be eternity in hell. My brothers and sisters, it's very important. You know, so many times I try to warn Christians about the mark of the beast, and sometimes they don't even want to hear it because they get terrified by the number 666. I remember one of my sisters in the Lord who has fallen right now, and she's still struggling to come back to the Lord. You know, one of the diapers she uses for her son had the number 666 on it, and she threw all the box of diapers away. And I said, you are afraid of just the number 66, but you don't want to rededicate your life back to the Lord? It's not the number 666 that does anything. It's the fact that you will receive it either on your right hand or forehead. Even, you know, some people have tattooed themselves with 666. They are not going to hell so long as they repent and ask Jesus into their lives. It's not tattooing your body. Yes, you tattoo your body is a sin. You understand? And if you're an unbeliever, when you did that, when you come to know the Lord, you repent and He forgives you. But as a believer in the book of Leviticus, we are not supposed to do that. But it's not that. It's knowing the sign that will go into the right hand or the forehead. Don't receive it. You know, Satan uses all these small deceptions so we will not know the whole truth, because it's not being preached. It's not being taught in the body of Christ, so we will know the truth. My brothers and sisters, I've given you the scriptures. Read up on it. In the name of Jesus. I want to tell you something. I have been seeing numbers. And since we're talking about the Antichrist, I'm going to tell you something. I keep seeing the number 1111, 1111, 1111. And so one day I went to go preach in a church, 2009. And I was coming back. The presence of God was so strong on me, I could hardly drive or anything. But then, you know, when He does that, He pulls so I will be able to function. And before, He said to me, He said, the reason why you've been seeing 1111, you know, I see it even when I go to the stores. I might purchase something, might come up to be, you know, $11.11. Or even on the computer, on my cell phone, I see 1111. You know what the Lord told me? He said, the reason why you keep seeing 1111 is because the number 11 stands for what? The number 11 stands for lawlessness. The reason why, in second, when in Matthew 24, when it said that in the end times, sin will abound greatly and lawlessness will increase, right? Sin. It will increase greatly when it talked about lawlessness. It's because the Antichrist is the man of sin. One of his names is lawlessness. So when he was revealed, sin has intensified greatly. Why? Because God has me reading newspapers and studying from all over the world and seeing how sin has increased so much because this man is sin. And that's why 11 means what? Sin. The number 11 means what? Sin. And because he was revealed, it says that when the Antichrist is revealed, it is what? It is the 11th hour. It is the 11th hour. That means what? 11 p.m. 11 p.m. means 11 p.m. when you see somebody teaching end times and they have a clock and the clock is set on 11. It means 11 p.m. It means that the Antichrist has been revealed in the last hour. My brothers and sisters, the last hour. We are already in the last hour. That's why the rapture can happen anytime. That is the 11 p.m. And if you want to see that, it can be found at 1 John 2:18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. The Antichrist has been revealed in the last hour. Lord, you see? So now I'm going to talk about three different simple topics here, very important, that we need to know. Then we'll close. Amen. But let me tell you something. It says, you know, when I'm witnessing and warning people about the soon return of the Lord, do you know what people always quote, even believers? And the sad thing is, they don't even realize that this scripture, the devil knows that scripture too. It says, yes, the Lord said, no man knows the day or the hour that he will come. It can be found where? Matthew 24, what? 36, verse 36. Mark 13, verse 32. And in Matthew 24, verse 50. Or Luke 12, 46. And that talks about what? The parable of the faithful and evil servant. Servant will not know when his master will come back. That is a symbolic thing, okay? It talks about us not knowing the day or the hour that our Lord will come, because our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is our master. And what? So, what does it say? It says no one will know the day or the hour. But let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, because Satan has used this scripture to blind us. You know, he always twists the scripture. Because even if you study the word of God, whenever Satan went even to tempt Jesus, you know, what does he do? He always quotes scriptures and twists the scriptures a little. Put some lies in the scripture so that he would try to deceive. But he didn't know. Our Lord and Savior knew the scriptures. And that's why as believers, every day we should study our scriptures. Also, it says, let me tell you, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 3, and also in 1 Thessalonians, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 8. My brothers and sisters, I'm going to show you something in scripture that's going to really make us think. It says, in scripture, I'm going to read it to you. We read it from Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. It says, remember therefore how you have received and heard and hold fast. Repent. Therefore, if you will not watch. Listen. What is he saying? He says, if we will not watch. Jesus says, I will come upon you as a thief and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. My brothers, this is a very simple English word that we shouldn't be confused by. What is that telling us? Our Lord is telling us to pray and watch. He commands us to pray and watch so that his coming, the rapture, will not come to us as a thief in the night. Those who are not walking in the spirit will be caught like a thief in the night. Because why? We are already in the days of Noah. Because they were partying, they were drinking, they were marrying and all these things.
And what? They went into the ark and they didn't even know. But the Lord tells us, we are supposed to know the day, and we are supposed to know His coming. We are supposed to know the season. My brothers and sisters, study 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 8. It tells us that we, the sons of light, that's born again, Holy Spirit, filled, children of the Almighty Living God, we are supposed to know the season. And my brothers and sisters, the season is now. It's not tomorrow. Our Lord and Savior can come any moment from now. So now you have the scriptures for that. And the other thing it talks about is that Jesus commands us. That means it's an order. You know, when somebody commands us, it's an order. So us who are not praying and watching, we are sinning. Because He tells us to pray and watch. What do you think He was telling us to watch for? To watch for the signs that are being fulfilled so that we will know He's coming, that He can come any moment from now. You can find that at Mark 13, 33 through 37, or Luke 21, verses 34 through 36. My brothers and sisters, watch and pray. We are supposed to be watchmen. Those who are watching in the spirit know that 2009 was a very close call for the rapture. Because of all the things that God was sharing and showing, pertaining to all the signs and stuff. Let me tell you, we are on borrowed time. So we should not be playing at all. We need to be witnessing and working out our salvation with fear and trembling. The last thing I want to read to you all, it can also be found on Sister Thomas's website. I put a link there. 13 years ago when I was born again, the Lord allowed me, you know, I had my last money and I used my last $50 to buy a Bible from Benny Hinn's ministry. And the Bible is the same Bible I used to study my end times. It's really amazing because God knew why He moved my heart to use that money to buy the Bible. At page 2001 in that Benny Hinn's Bible, let me tell you, it's called Spiritual Answers, and it was by Pat Robinson. It talks about the Antichrist, and I want to read a portion to you. It says, okay, I've had this Bible for years, but I never ever studied anything. I didn't know anything about end times. But in 2008, when it was prophesied to me, in 2007, God started in 2008 showing me things, and He moved my heart to this end times thing, and I'm going to read it to you. It says on that page 2001, for an Antichrist figure to come into the modern world, there must be a breakdown of the world system as we know it now. There would have to be breakdowns in currency, in law and order, and in the power structure of national states. My brothers and sisters, isn't it happening right now? Now they're trying to put a one world government together. China has already proposed the money. What do you think it's leading up to? Let me keep reading. It says, you think the financial collapse of the World Trade Center was by accident? It's all been planned for years by these people who are trying to put the demonic forces, trying to put the Antichrist into power. It says a financial panic could help pave the way for him. Who is him that they're talking about? That is the Antichrist. So could a nuclear war, such disaster, will leave people crying out for a man of peace. My God, that is your biggest clue there. Who will be Satan's counterfeit of Jesus Christ? This man will seem to be like Jesus until such a time as is ready to show his true self. then he will be incredibly cruel. Daniel 7:8, the Antichrist will be the most hideous example of dictatorial power and the world that the world has ever known. You know, I see so many people, I mean, that have been teaching the gospel for years, and they mention names. Do you think this man is the Antichrist? And they always say no, and it grieves my heart, because God has given them great revelation years ago concerning this, and now that the man is here, they don't even know he's the one. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to know that Jesus is coming. He is coming. He is truly coming. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you have already heard the sermon. I pray that you will all stay ready and waiting for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And warn your family, warn your neighbors about not receiving the mark of the beast. It's very, very, very important. Please, if you need copies of this to be emailed to you, we'll put it on the website, a nice formatted one and everything. And you can get them and email them to people all over and print them and take them everywhere you go. Don't get deceived that Jesus is not coming anytime soon. He is. And it's very, very important that no matter what comes our way, we stay focused and be ready for the soon return of our Lord. I pray that I see you all in the clouds as we all eagerly wait for the soon return of our Lord Jesus, for the promise of the rapture. Stay blessed. Always in the Lord. Jesus loves you all, and so do I. Thank you, and God bless you all.